touch us. You guide us, you reprove us, and you equip us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Most High. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew chapter 5. So last weekend I was in Ibadan and we were having the anniversary services of a church, 24 years. Since we started Sunday morning services. So there had been Surpassing Grace Outreach, we called it before then, which was, we had evening fellowships, but 24 years ago, 2nd July, year 2000, we started Sunday morning services in Ibadan. Next year will be the, Silver Jubilee. And we trust God that next year we'll be dedicating the facilities of a church, fully paid, debt-free, and by God's grace, renovated. Amen. Hallelujah. Which are three buildings, basically. Well, two completed, one uncompleted right now. So we trust God will be dedicating that at the Silver Jubilee next year. But God really has been good. Many foundations of many lives have been built. We've had no intention to be the most popular, most known, happening church, no. But we've had all of the intention to be a place where people's lives are built. And there are people all over the world who have been through there, who have been blessed. Periodically, I still get messages from people, you know, all over the place and who are sometimes where they are. Of course, we don't have Surpassing Grace everywhere. If I may say so, there's no intention to do so either. You know, there's no intention to do so. You know, so there are people all over the place and periodically they send messages and they say thank you because the foundation we got is helping us. Somebody once sent me a message one day and was thanking me and saying, you know, I still have my tips. So you know how old that was, you know. So I still have my tips and periodically I go back to my tips to listen to them again because that's the real foundation on which I'm still building now. Amen. Hallelujah. So much more than anything, we trust that you are the epistles, our epistles written on men's hearts. Amen. That people can truly see you and know what Christianity is about, know what church is about. Amen. Know that this is what it means to be Christians when they meet you. Okay? Not me, not Pastor NY, not my wife, not Pastor Divine, but when they meet you, look at your neighbor, say you. Eyeball them and say, you look at them in the eyes very well. Eyeball them. If you can't eyeball them, you can't eyeball the devil. Look at them, goro. Hallelujah. Have you found Matthew chapter 5? So in that weekend, it was great. God sent us his word, you know, and that was a blessing. I believe it's available online. You'll find it, New Wine Skins, and I think they might be able to help you download it if you want to. So also after the service, if you want to go to the technical desk, they can download that for you. God was mighty in our midst, and God touched people specifically, you know, specifically. I had people who told me and said this was a confirmation to me, you know, personally. And there was somebody I had to ask, and I said, well, God touched you, you know, would you mind sharing? Not, she didn't share that in public, you know, and she told me, she said, in fact, at that point, I called her towards the end, maybe, I don't even remember, first day, second day, I think first day. And she said, at that point in time, there were issues, and she was saying to God, as a confirmation of what you are saying to me, let him call me, you know. And I told her, I said, you know, interestingly, I knew he wanted me to call you and lay hands on you, but I struggled with it. I struggled. I was going to just drop the mic and go sit down. When I felt, okay, all right, I give up. And I said, okay, come. You know, so he said it was at that point you called me and laid hands on me, you know, and blah, 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 things happened. Hallelujah. So God is a good God. Amen. Matthew chapter 5. Are you there yet? from verse 13, it says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Or a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Verse 16, it said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans the 12th chapter. Verses 1 and 2. It said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So there must be unreasonable service. Abby? Isn't that correct? So it's unreasonable to present an unholy body to God. It's unreasonable. Hallelujah. So you must do everything you can to present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's not really my message, but you must do everything you can. But again, I've learned that the side road sometimes is God speaking to somebody. Amen. Do everything you can. Don't give up. Oh, I still failed. Don't give up. Do everything you can until the last breath in you to make sure that you present a holy sacrifice to him. As a matter of fact, the problem here is that he called it a living sacrifice. Can I hear you say living sacrifice? Most sacrifices are dead. They are offered dead. They are killed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Therefore, this means that this is Oyibola, what they call oxymoron, if I'm right. Oxymoron, am I right? Meaning that it's a sacrifice supposed to be dead, yet you say it's living. So it says, offer a living sacrifice. You are supposed to be dead, yet you remain alive. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And somebody said the problem with a living sacrifice is that it can crawl off the altar. So if you put the chicken on the altar, if you put the goat on the altar, if you put the ram on the altar, but you didn't kill it, and you say you're offering it as a sacrifice, the problem is that it can come off the altar. Are you still there? So many of us are getting off the altar too quickly, too soon. I'm remembering what Pastor Peace was telling us the other time. When we are not yet done, there's a little fire on the altar, and we turn off the altar, we slide off the altar, we jump off the altar. Do everything you can to become what God wants you to be. Don't stop until you are what he has in mind. Can I have an amen? Okay, verse 2 is what really ties to what I'm speaking about this morning. And it says, and do not be, but if verse 1 was for you, take it. It says in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Can I hear you say transformed? By the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I read those because I want to speak about what was in the newsletter, if you got it. Which is the word of the world, basically, which is about what is influencing you. Okay? But my thought process starts from the fact that God has in mind that you and I will be influencers. You know influencers? You know influencers, anybody? You know, so influencers are what? They are paid, they are what have you, why? Because they are believed to be shaping the way people think, the way people act around. So they are called influencers. So they are there on Facebook. They are there on this, on that. In fact, people will hire them. Companies will hire them and say, all we need you to do is take a sip of this drink We'll snap the picture. We're going to put it on billboards because you are now an influencer. So if people see you with that drink, we expect that we will make sales. They will start drinking it because you are an influencer. And I'm saying to you that God has in mind that you and I become influencers. That's why he was saying in Matthew chapter 5 that we first read, he said, you are the salt of the earth. Salt is an influencer. You know, when you put salt into anything, it changes the thing. You know, it changes the taste. So they said to some man, and they said, well, now you know you have diabetes, you have hypertension, you have this. They said, so you cannot eat this, you cannot eat that, and you cannot eat salt. The man said, then kill me now. I mean, so if I can't eat all of the things you have listed, and on top of it, you said, I should eat everything else that I'm eating tasteless. He said, then it's better to die now. What am I living for? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the world becomes tasteless without you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God's definition, God's description, God's view of you is that when you are somewhere, you make a difference where you are. God's view of you is that when you are in a school, the school changes. When you are in an association, the association changes. When you are in a neighborhood, the neighborhood changes. Everybody can feel your influence and experience the impact of your presence. You live in a house, in an estate of sorts or whatever, a block of flats. God expects that your presence there is felt. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why he says you are also, he uses another description. In case you did not get the description of the salt, he said you are the light. You bring brightness. You bring gladness. You bring joy. Your presence is not just that you are there and you impact the place, is that you positively impact the place. Is that your presence is as good as light being there when the whole place is covered in darkness. Are you hearing me? Now, that's the way God sees you. And what my concern is also, is that he says you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, then it is good for nothing other than what? It will be trampled upon. So when we are not impacting, when we are not influencing, we get trampled upon by our environment. We get trampled upon by the people around us. We get trampled upon by the systems around us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It should be, and it doesn't matter what position you hold. Maybe in the family, you are the last. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Maybe in the neighborhood, you are the youngest. Maybe at work you are the junior. It shouldn't make a difference. It should just make a difference that you are there, and everybody should appreciate that you are there. You know, many years ago I was working in a hospital, government hospital, and I was the junior doctor in the team. House officer, as we'll say. So I was a house officer, just graduated. And I was in the team. And then we would go to the hospital. I was in this team. As the junior, of course, you do all the jerky work. So I have to arrive. I lived across town, but I must be there at 7 a.m. Latest. Because 7 a.m. latest, I must go through the hospital ward for that team. And I must see all the patients. I must know what's happening to them before my bosses arrive. Because when they arrive, the expectation is that I must give them up-to-date information. This is what is happening to Mr. So-and-so. He was the one we admitted 2 days ago with this. He's on so-so treatment. But last night, he had this problem and that problem. So now this morning, I have recommended that they start him on this and that and that. You understand what I'm saying? So that's the way the system works. When I finish there, we'll go to the clinic. And then we'll start seeing patients who are coming in from outside at the clinic. So I will start at the ones on admission, do a word round with my bosses. Then we'll go to the clinic and we'll start. And then we'll walk and then we'll go to the emergency room. And see the ones who are in emergency. And then I said to my bosses one day, and I said, you know, because we'll get to the clinic, and we'll walk and walk and walk and walk and walk till about 4 p.m., you are tired. And then at 4 p.m., they say, let's go to the emergency room. And when we get there, they will just look at the people who are there, because everybody is tired.
So they just say, you know what? Because there are people in the emergency room who would have seen them and started some treatment, even though they belong to our team. Our team is the specialty team to deal with that case. But they will just look at it and say, continue management. That is, we'll see tomorrow. Just continue whatever the people who have seen before have started to do. So one day I said to my bosses, I said, sir, what we are doing is not good. They said, why? I said, these are the most critical cases. These guys are in critical state. Whatever happens to them in the first few hours of arrival here will determine their ultimate outcome. I said, but they are the ones we come to see last. When we are all tired and we just say, continue. We are not ready to think. We're not ready to review. I said, and I think the problem we are having is that we are spending too much time attending to the people who are well, looking from their house that morning to see us in the clinic. And we stay there and stay there and stay there. I said, because the place is not, we are not regulated. I said, we need to be disciplined. You don't stroll from your house at 1 p.m. and come to the clinic. I said, no. Those ones should go to emergency if it's that serious. Otherwise, they wait till the next day. I said, whoever needs to come to the clinic, the way is that they should come in the morning. By so-so time, you cannot register to see us in the clinic anymore. I said, that way we know the number we are dealing with that day. We finish it on time. Not that it never ends. We see one, then they tell us there's another case. They bring another person. I said, no. We will know. We have 20. We have 30. We have 50. And we'll face the 50. We will finish. Maybe 1 p.m. or whatever. And then we still have energy. And my boy said, the way this thing has been running since. I said, sir, leave it to me. I will handle it. So I went to the people handling the registration and all that. I told them, I said, by 9 a.m., we shut down the registration here. Ah, doctor, blah, blah. I said, yes, that's what we're going to do. And so I will count. 9 a.m., I will come to that desk, and I will count how many case notes they had. I said, now we have 40. If I see 41, the 41st person will have to go back home. And I don't care who that is, you will have to apologize to the person. That's how I reorganized the whole place. And then they said, to, you know, so later when those people will try to sneak, they will try to sneak extra people again. And later on, they will bring them, people who arrive very late, they will take them to another room where I'm not sitting. My boss will say, you know what? Take the case note to our boss in the next office. It's me or the junior doctor. They will say, take it to our boss in the next office. I'm saying to you that you are an influencer. Positively. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But if the salt loses its flavor, how will it be salted? I had to go read about that to say, because it never occurred to me that salt loses its flavor. You know, all the salt we've ever had, we used it, we finished it. So I never saw salt that loses its flavor. So I had to go and read some time ago. And I said, salt loses its flavor. How does salt lose its flavor? And I discovered that how salt loses its flavor is that if you open it up. So salt is usually contained in something, in a bag, in a container, whatever. And I discovered that salt can lose its flavor if you just leave it open. You know, that ministered to me. Because what he said to me is that if I'm just there, open to anything and everything, then I will lose my flavor and I'm good for nothing. Did you understand that? But that every time God opens that container to bring out me, to bring you out, he has a purpose. He wants to influence the environment where you are. That's why he put you there. He doesn't just want you open to anything with no purpose whatsoever. He said, then you will lose your favor. Are you still with me, anybody? And where I'm going this morning is that my ability to be who God wants me to be, like Romans chapter 12 says, to be transformed, because when he uses a comparison in Romans 12 and verse 2, you know, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, meaning that he's comparing the two. I should not be conformed. So one way or one thing that can happen to me, even as a believer, is that I can be conformed. The word conformed means to be shaped by my environment. That's the salt losing its flavor. The environment overcomes him. So the one way is that you are conformed. And that word conformed comes from when you put something, let's say water. They tell us in science, they will say water takes the shape of its container. So that is what water conforms. And I hear you say conform. So there are people that conform. They drink because everybody around is drinking. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They steal because, if you can't beat them, join them. Abi, you are becoming quiet. Am I talking about you? So I hope not. So there are people that just conform. They become everything. Again, when I worked in that environment for the government, I would come to work. I move to another hospital. I will arrive. We will see about 150 children a day, children's hospital. And I will arrive at 8 a.m. I'm there on my desk. Sometimes, 7:30, 8, I'm there. And then I'm sitting down. I'm like, let's start work. Because again, if you are going to see 150 children in outpatients, most of the days it's just two of us, me and my ogre. I said, by the time you see 150, by early afternoon, you are seeing double. You know, you are tired. You are tired. You are seeing double. So, and then the clinic does not start until about 10 a.m. So I said to them, why are we starting at 10 a.m.? Now, we will start to see them at 10 a.m., but mothers will be there at 5 a.m. So if I did a call and I slept overnight and I'm going to go home, I'm up already, I prayed, and then I'm trying to go home or whatever at about, 5, 6 a.m., you see mothers sitting there. Some of them dressed in work clothes, thinking that I will take my child there, they will attend to him quickly, then I can go to work. So they are there that early, but we will not start until 10. And then we'll keep walking till 4 p.m., 5 p.m. So I said, no. So me, I arrive. I said, I'm going to start work. And then he told me, he said, no. Because again, children, you have to prescribe by weight. So I need nurses to weigh the children, and then they come into the clinic to see me. And then I sit down. I discovered my cobalamin early every day was not working. Because when I sit down, they won't weigh the children. So I got up, I went to meet them. I said, please start weighing them. I'm ready to walk. They said, no, that they are busy. There are 3, 4, 5 people there. I said, busy doing what? They said they are giving injections. Those who already have injections prescribed from previous day, those who have wounds to be cleaned and all that. I said, and 5 of you are doing that? I said, all I need is one person to be weighing these people, and I will start attending to them, and they can go. And they said, no, it's not possible. So I'll start estimating because we have formulas for estimating weight of a child based on the age and all that. So I start estimating and I start prescribing and seeing them. They said, I don't know what I do. I said, leave me alone. You know, and guess what? They will also sometimes sneak to come and see me and bring somebody. Because I'm there early, they'll bring somebody to me. Please, can you help us see this child? It's my sister's child. Somebody told me one day, he said, it's a lie. It's a child they have treated at home that they didn't succeed. They will now say, come to the hospital. They will now use leg to bring that one to jump the queue. So when they bring the one, I said, no. I said, you know what? I will see this child. I said, well, after you have weighed 20 children for me, then I will see this one. Then they'll go and weigh. And that's how I beat them, and they start weighing children for me. And I can't start. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But you can be conformed. So one of them asked me one day, I said, why do you walk like this, F? I said, because I don't want to be like you. I don't want to be conformed. I said, I don't want to be conformed that they will say this is one of the civil servants. I said, I want to be fit enough to walk anywhere in the world, even. And anybody will say this person's work ethics are good. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I said, this is a system that is trying to shape you into something, and I refuse to be shaped into that shape. Are you still with me, anybody? But it says, don't be conformed, but be transformed. So it's comparing it. How does the transformation take place? He said, by the renewal of your mind. You must have a completely different mindset that is, we know, renovated, ideally replaced, and influenced, and constantly influenced by the word of God. Are you with me? So that brings me to why, you know, I wrote this stuff in the newsletter. I spoke about it at a board meeting. Where I'm on the board of a Christian organization, charity for leprosy in Nigeria. And usually you have a short devotion and all that. So I spoke about it there also. And I was reading a book, and it set me thinking. And the guy gave some statistics. And he said, when you take an average secondary school graduate, not here, but we can, I mean, we can move it here. And this was years back when we didn't have internet. You know, when we depended on television, you know. And you know the television, our television even had door. You know what I'm talking about. Our television had door and some of them had key. So they can lock the door and lock the television that you can watch. It's only going to start at 4 p.m. with some lights. I mean, color, then you start hearing, woo-hoo. Then when it's going to start, you hear, bang, 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 bang. Arise, O compadre, drop with me, television is about to start. Then you start dancing, hey, television, you know, you are going to watch something today. Then they will do what? All the puppet show. They will do Sesame Street. You know, good old days. Amen. And then they will carry on by 11 or midnight. Program ends. So there is nothing like sitting up at 2 a.m. You are watching series. What is called series? You know, so 12 midnight, it has ended. If it's Friday, Friday special. Abi, that's India movie night. Darling, so, they will lock the TV. But it says that the average secondary school graduate, okay, back then, by the time he's graduating from secondary school, has been influenced by TV for about 16,000 hours. So, has been exposed to television. Television of what? 16,000 hours. Can I hear you say 16,000 hours? By that same time, he would have been influenced or exposed to 14,000 hours of schooling, going to school the way you normally would go, 8 to 2, blah, blah, blah. He said, on average, he would have been exposed to 14,000 hours of schooling. And if he went to church like we did on Sundays, we didn't go to midweek services. He said, if he went to church on Sundays for 2 hours, every Sunday, dutifully, 2 hours, don't miss service, 2 hours every Sunday, by the time he's graduating from secondary school, he has been exposed to only 2,000 hours. Are you seeing what I'm saying? He has been exposed to 16,000 hours of schooling by television. Television telling him what to do. Now, if you transpose that to today's age, it's not 4 p.m. to midnight. There's constant stuff. There's series that never seems to end. You know, every time you are watching it, the episode ends, but it ends at a very bad spot. You want to see what happened next. So you say, okay, I'll just watch the next one. Then the next one also stops at a very bad spot where it's tingling your curiosity. Then you say, I want to see what happened. I'll just watch one more, just one more. And then before you know it, you are there till 3. So we're not even talking of that time, and yet this person has been exposed to 16,000 hours of God knows what on television. And has been exposed to 14,000 hours of whatever the teacher thinks and the teacher is teaching. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But has been exposed to only 2,000 hours of what God says. So the question that arose in my mind was that what is going to influence this person and make him or her be who he is among all the exposures that he has? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Will 2,000 hours of God compare and compete with effectively with 16,000 hours of television? So we and I'm not just talking about, that's just an example of a statistic, but I'm also, you can apply that to yourself now. That's where we are really going. Apply that to yourself. God wants me to be transformed by the renewal of my mind. So it is what is getting into me, into my mind, that determines who I am. Because transformation means I am who I am, irrespective of my environment. I know what I stand for. And somebody said, if you stand for nothing, you will fall for anything. Are you hearing me? Proverbs 23 verse 7, he said, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So whatever is influencing my thinking, the way I think and what's running on my mind, is going to determine who I really am. You know, using the example of water again, you will understand transformation. Water can go through transformation into different phases or different, states. So you can boil water and it becomes gas. When it's gaseous, it doesn't take the shape of the container. That's transformation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When it's a gas, it is just, you can put it inside whatever container, but it's not taking the shape of the container. It's moving and it's shaking itself as whatever it wants to be. When you freeze it and it becomes, ice. You say, oh, it's taking the shape, but you know, if you fill up a bottle also, for instance, and you put it in the freezer and you forgot it there, very often what happens? It breaks the thing open. It's transformed. Are you hearing me? And so take away the bottle, it has its own shape now. Are you following what I'm saying? And that's what God is saying to us. And he's saying that whatever we allow to influence us is going to determine who we are. Listen, there's no secret about who you are. There's no secret about what you do now. There's no secret about who you can become. It's all about the influence that you allow to come to you or to come at you. Are you hearing me? So, who or what is influencing you? That's the big question. Who or what is influencing you? Let's read a few scriptures. You know, because I when I talk to my children, occasionally I say to them, you know, when you talk about peer pressure, when you talk to them about friends, for instance, I say to them, peer pressure is not just for you. So when I'm telling you, be careful with your friends, be careful with this, be careful with who you move with, I said, I'm also careful. Even as an adult, I'm careful because we get influenced. Don't deceive yourself. All this, no, you know, me, no, nothing influences me. Nobody can influence me is a lie. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because whoever you are with and makes you, for instance, begin to think about sin much more than you would. You did commit the sin, or you didn't do it all, but you thought about the sin a lot more than you would. That person is already influencing you. You understand what I'm talking about? You're with somebody and it's making you think about drinking. You didn't drink at the end of the day. You left him even the whole week. You were thinking about drinking, but you didn't drink. But that guy has influenced you. And you find out that every time you're with him, you think about drinking. Then something is going on there. As you think in your heart, so are you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It means that it's just a matter of time. Keep applying that exposure there. You will soon drink something. 1 Corinthians 15. So the key thing, like I said, is to watch out. Who or what is influencing me? Who is influencing me? What is influencing me? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. It says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. I like the old King James. The old King James called it what? Evil communication. Evil communication. Evil communication. Communication means anything that's communicating with you. People can, books can, videos can, skits can I have an amen? Social media can, whatever is communicating with you, the Bible says if it's evil, don't fool yourself. That's where it started from. It said, do not be deceived. Don't deceive yourself and say, it doesn't do anything to me. You are lying to yourself. Are you still there? So many times in our mind, we became Bruce Lee. We became James Bond. Well, let's not say we became James Bond. We became spies. We became martial art experts because of what we watched. Some people became very cool in their minds because of what they are watching on social media. Are you getting what I'm saying? Some people began to feel like they can fly. Because of what you watch, you like Superman a lot. You start imagining, what if I jump and I can fly? We were Spider-Man very often. You know, Spider-Man. Yeah, seriously, first step. Oh, yeah, oh. Are you with me? It's called influence. I'm not saying they are evil, but I'm saying when you have evil communication, it corrupts good manners. And the Bible says, don't be deceived about it. You know, music. Abi? They sing something, you start thinking about it. There was one that I always use as an example. You know, back in the days, I think in my former life, I would have been a DJ. So there was one in those days, it says Secret Lovers. That's what we are. Aha! So when they play for days like this, I'm imagining all my crush and Fanta. I'm talking about the influence. Are you hear what I'm saying? So don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. These things have an influence. Are you still there? The people around you have an influence. You know, I was sharing that at the board meeting. I was saying, and the MD of the institution said, yes, what you are saying happened to me. You know, I was given an example. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, Proverbs 22. Just as an example, you know, how things happen, how we do things because of the influences around us. But remember where we're starting from. Don't lose sight of it, which is that God expects you to be an influencer. But who you are as a person depends on what is running in your own mind. Are you there? Or basically depends on who or what is influencing you yourself. If you're going to be that great influence in your society, in your environment, then you have to take care of what is influencing you too. Okay? It also means, and that's where we would go eventually and close it. It also means that I have the answer. That's the good side of it. It means I have to the answer to becoming what I want to be or to becoming what God wants me to be. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And the answer is I will go back and fix what is influencing me. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, the man Smith Wigglesworth, they called him an apostle of faith. Smith Wigglesworth, no scandal in all his years of ministry. He was an illiterate plumber, British plumber. Never went to school a day in his life, couldn't read or write. And only learned to read because his wife taught him to read by reading the Bible. That's how he learned how to read. And the only book he was known to have read till he died was the Bible. He refused to read anything else. You can't even bring a newspaper to his house. He will tell you to throw it out. Hey, I don't want that thing in my house. And if you are with him, he was reputed to constantly read the Bible. So even if you are with him for a significant period of time, he can stop and just say, wait. Let's read the Bible. Then you can read one chapter of the Bible together. You say, oh, yeah, continue. Continue the gist you were gisting. Then you continue. You are still there 1 hour. You say, stop. Let's read the Bible. But guess what the result was? Smith Wigglesworth, this illiterate plumber, shook the whole world. Went to America, shook the whole of America. So people like Kenneth Hagin we're talking about today, they drew from Smith Wigglesworth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He was reputed to have raised a number of people from the dead. Different accounts existed. But they had anything from 8 to 18 that they said were certified. Meaning there were many people raised from the dead, but these ones were certified. They had a doctor or a nurse who certified this person is dead. And he raised them from the dead. No iota of doubt in him. Raised his wife from the dead. They called him the woman that died. He came home. He lifted her up, put her against the wall. Leave, I command you. Are you telling me? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Eventually, the time the wife was to die, he commanded life back. The woman said, please leave me alone. Are you still there? But what am I saying? He determined what he wanted to influence him. And the extent to which that influence affected his life was the extent to which we are speaking about him today. Are you still with me? Proverbs 22, are you there? Okay, look at verse 24. It says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his way. Do you understand that? Lest you learn his way and set a snare for your soul. You know what the Bible is saying there? It's saying you can learn anger. So you're a very gentle brother, very gentle sister, loving, but you can become an animal, very angry somebody. But just because you move with somebody who is like that. So it was when I said that, the MD of the place said, that one, he interrupted me. He said, that one happened to me. He said he just realized that he was very angry. That anything anybody does, any small thing, on the road. He said, then one day he said to himself, I have a problem. He said, and he started thinking to himself, God, what is this? When did I become like this? And it occurred to him that he was moving with somebody who was like that. He said, and he told himself, I need to distance myself. Are you hearing me? Proverbs 13:20 puts it on the positive side. Well, both positive and negative. He said, he that walks with the wise will be wise. So again, I can become wise just by making friends with wise people. You know what what do they call them? The positive motivational speakers have told us. Eh? They said your net worth. Eh? Your net worth is the average of the six people or whatever around you. The closest six people to you. You know what that means? The money, if we sum you up, all your assets and liabilities and all that, we say, this is your net worth. This guy is worth 100,000 naira. They said it's an average of the closest people to you. Are you with me? You know what they are saying? What they are saying is that the people closest to you will influence you. Are you still with me, anybody? So he that walks with the wise, if you think, me, I'm not very sharp, just find sharp people. Not sharp, Nigerian sharp. You know, Nigerian sharp is different. We have Nigerian English. So you know, Nigerian English is different. It's a recognized, on computer itself. When you are setting up a computer, they are saying which language, the keyboard, and they say English. They will say British, America, Nigerian. It's Nigerian English, so not Nigerian sharp. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But you just think that you are not very smart. Find somebody who's very smart. Find those who are very smart. Become friends with them. You will soon become smart. Whether they influence you to read the way they do, influence you to read the kind of things they do, but they will start influencing you. The way they analyze issues, it will start getting on you. Are you there? But it says what happens? The companion of fools will be destroyed. So you see fools around you. They are misbehaving, messing up, living the riotous life, and you are moving with them. He said, basically, what he just jumped. You know, it's like mathematics. He jumped a step. Step one is that if the company of fools, we become a fool. And then we'll be destroyed. So that's step two. So he just jumped step one. So just go to the conclusion to say, we'll be destroyed. Are you still there? They looked at the disciples of Jesus, illiterate, blah, 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 fishermen. They had not been to the schools of the day. And they said, the way these people speak, boldness, confident, blah, blah, where? And they've never been to school. They said, they've been with Jesus. Are you hearing me? So, it takes us to the real core of the matter and the conclusion of the matter. Like I said earlier, which is that it tells me I can fix myself. I can fix my issues. I can fix my destiny. I can fix my personality. I can fix who I want to become. And all I need to do is look at my exposures. Look at my influences. It doesn't matter who I am. It doesn't matter what I am now. It doesn't matter where I am now. I mean, I just need to watch what I'm exposed to. What am I exposed to? Are you hearing what I'm saying? I can be a nobody, but I just need to sit down and say, hey, what exactly am I exposed to regularly or the most? Are you still with me? And then I can begin to change. It won't happen overnight, but I will change who I will be in the near future. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So the idea of the message is not for you to feel bad and feel sad. No. The idea is to say, hey, the secret is open before you. The secret is in your hand. So you can take up that secret and say, let me begin to use this to my advantage. You know, it's almost like when the Bible says in Proverbs 18 and verse 21, and it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, they that know it will eat the fruit thereof. What's he saying? He's saying those that know that secret will take advantage of it. Are you hear what I'm saying? I mean, death and life are in the power of the tongue itself. Just means that the tongue is powerful. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's powerful. So if I'm uttering death from my tongue, that's what will be happening. Things around me won't work. Things will be dying, blah, blah, blah. That's what will be happening to me. Because the tongue is powerful. If I'm always uttering life, I'm always speaking hope, even when things are not working, but I'm always saying, I know that I will be good. I know I'll be great. I know that sin will not have dominion over me. I know that, you know, I'm always speaking right and speaking God's word. Then things will work eventually for me because the tongue is powerful. But he's saying that you can do that by accident. But those who love it, those who know it, those who understand it, then they will do it intentionally. They will watch it intentionally. What they say is not evil. What they say is positive. They love it. They understand the power of the tongue, and so they will eat the fruit thereof. Are you with me? So, number one, choose your friends carefully. Choose your friends carefully. Somebody once said that you will remain the same except for the friends you keep and the books you read. You will remain the same except for the friends you keep and the books you read. Huh? Choose your friends carefully. There's peer pressure even for adults. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I know somebody who joined a company of people, ministers even. And before he knew it, they were going womanizing. I'm talking ministers. And one day, he came to himself and he said, this thing is killing me. This group that I joined, this is not who I am. And this is not who I want to be. So he had to extricate himself from the group, albeit prestigious. Are you with me here this morning? Choose your friends carefully. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26. It says, the righteous shall choose his friends carefully. The power you have is the power of choice. It's just the power of choice. Love everybody. You know, we use words a little differently from what you might read in the Bible. Okay, so we would say, for instance, I love my car. I love my dog. Bible doesn't say you love dog. I love ikokore. Bible doesn't say love it. I love banga and starch. You will not find that kind of language applied to that. So we use words differently. Friends are also used differently. Huh? A friend sticks closer than a brother. That's Bible definition. Huh? So it's about closeness. Are you with me? So when he says you choose your friends carefully, it doesn't mean you don't talk to people or you are not friendly. No. You are. But it means the ones that are close to you, the ones that you talk to every so often, the ones that talk to you every so often, the ones that we know that if we're looking for you, we should ask this person if we haven't found you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Those ones. Say, be very careful. The ones that can just call you and say, what are you doing now? I'm coming to pick you. Let's go out together. Those ones. Are you with me? If you are the wrong crowd, they will finish you. Okay? And if you feel, I can just go, I will just go. No, it's a lie. You'll be wrecked. Are you with me? So the only choice you have is the choice of determining who gets in that inner circle. Oh, this guy loves God. I want him in my inner circle. When he talks to me, I can sense God. I am inspired. I'm challenged. I want to go to church. I want to study the Bible. I want to be close to this person, and I want this person to be close to me. That's the choice you have. Are you there? You know, Minister was saying some years ago, I was listening to him, I think I have an idea of the personalities he was talking about. And he said there was somebody that, another minister, these are big names. And he said, look, if he just found out that every time they were together, 3 hours, they would spend the 3 hours running down every minister around. He said, so one day he told himself that when he finishes, he's drained. He said, he told himself, this is like going to what? Fire brigade to put out the fire. And he said, I need to move away from this person. Are you there? Please look at your neighbor. Say, choose your friends carefully. Look at Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. Verse 7. It says, go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. So you see, stone. You know, every time I read this, I remember David. When David came to the war front, what happened? He was asking them, what will they give to the man who kills Goliath? He will get this. He will get that. He will marry the king's daughter. His family will not pay taxes anymore. He said, Then his brother began, say, what are you looking for? What are you asking? You this nonsense boy. You have nothing to do. That's why you came here. Blah, blah, blah. What did the Bible say? The Bible said he turned from his brother, went to another person. He said, but what did you say they would do to the person who kills Goliath? He turned away from that one and said, this one, this is foolishness coming from here. He turned away and went to ask another person. Well, they said, is it true that if I kill Goliath, no tax? Hallelujah. Who's speaking into your life? Number two, guard your heart diligently. So choose what enters your heart very diligently. Of course, you know Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart. For out of it flows forth the issues of life. One says, out of it comes your life. Because out of it comes your life. So whatever is filling your heart is going to be your life. Ultimately. Are you there? And also be careful what you watch. I've realized that you want to deal with many things, you know, even people struggling, addiction and all that. Just be careful what you watch. Just determine it. And you'll find out that some things will just drop off you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look at Psalm 101. I need to show you this one. Psalm 101. Because unfortunately also we are bombarded. Now, we are bombarded on our phones. You will get it in all kinds of forms. You know, people send videos around. People, you look on Facebook, there's this picture, there's video, there's this, there. All kinds of things. That's apart from you even trying to watch a movie. You have not even tried to watch any movie. But you see them in 2 minutes clips, 1 minute clip, you know, 30 second clip. You'll get all kinds of things coming at you. Including the ones that are just knocking God and the things of God. Are you hearing me? Because there are also people who are watching it and people are making fun of God, making fun of the Holy Ghost, making fun of the move of the Spirit, and people are watching that and then you are wondering why you are suddenly your heart is becoming harder. It's what you are watching. Are you still there? Psalm 101, look at verse 3. It says, I will set nothing. Can I hear you say nothing? I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Why? Because I hate the work of those who fall away.
it shall not cling to me. Then what happens? Verse 4. He said, a perverse heart shall depart from me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. So if I can censor what I'm seeing, he said a perverse heart will depart. So I can be focused on getting rid of a perverse heart. I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm saying, I don't even know why I'm always doubting God. I don't even know why I'm always thinking dirty thoughts. I don't even know. What the Bible is saying is that, look, cut off some of the things you are seeing. And the perverse heart will just do backslide like Michael Jackson, you understand? And just go away. Are you there? Romans 10:17 says what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay? It's a principle. As true as it is concerning God's word, it's true about other things. Okay? Faith means what you believe. Abi? What you believe comes by what you keep hearing about. Huh? Why are people afraid of juju? They keep hearing about it. You keep hearing. When they say, they did whatever juju and carry people away, camp discovered for ritual killers. You want to read that story well. Abi? Then he said, one of them who survived, who managed to survive, said, as soon as I entered the bus like this, I didn't remember anything again. So long, by me, oh. Hey? I say, you say, but that bus, was it a colored bus? He said, yes, the bus was colored. Say, ah, but he couldn't have taken it from the garage. He said, no, I entered that garage. Ah, I say, Mugbe, oh, me, I always enter bus, oh. Are you hearing me? The more of that you read and you hear, the more fear fills your heart. But if you were listening and hearing the fact that there is no weapon that is fashioned against you that shall prosper, if that's what you are hearing every day, and then somebody is taking it, you will say, what? You can't work on me. That'll be your first reaction. You understand? Because that's what fills your heart. It's what fills your heart that will come out then. Are you with me? If you have been listening, that I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. If that's what you have been hearing, you know, when somebody says this, you know, these things are common now, you say, it can't work on me. Because that's what you believe. That's what fills you. That's what you have been hearing and hearing. Hallelujah. So God wants you as an influencer, but it's going to depend on what influences you. And I said, watch out for the company you keep. Watch out for, in fact, just watch out for communications. Whatever communicates with you, watch out for it. And ensure that it's the good ones, and especially God, that is the overwhelming communication that you have in your life. Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet. Somebody was telling me that it's a woman I used to buy eggs from. But after a while, you know, I used to buy from, I mean, there's someone in my office that buys from her. And I thought, eggs are big, blah, blah, blah. So I would buy from her, you know, years back. And one day I didn't see her again. So I said, where is this mama that you buy eggs from? I don't see you buy eggs, and I want to buy eggs, you know. And she said, that, you know, they carried her one day for a ritual, whatever. She entered the scene, and from Lagos here, she met herself in Ogun State somewhere. But they pushed her out of the bus. So she was telling me, she said, you know, she got on the bus, everybody else slept except her. And so when the people got to the plane, they just pushed her, wait, this one, please get rid of this one. She can't go with us. But she was injured badly and all of that. You know. But the point is, it doesn't have to work on everybody. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There can be evil in the world, but it doesn't have to overwhelm everybody. 1 Peter 5:8 says what? Be careful, be vigilant. It's said for your adversary, the devil, is moving around like a roaring lion, looking for whom he may devour. Meaning that he can't devour everybody.
Not everybody is devourable. Are you with me, anybody? You know, I discovered that, you know, when you say lion is the king of the forest, it doesn't turn away from. I realized that even lion has sense. Because I watched some videos on animals, I like them. And lion, when lion sees an angry buffalo, it doesn't attack it all. The lion runs. Because you know this thing can kill me. Believe it, the buffalo will hit and hit and hit. I watched one where the buffalo, in fact, the lion was trying to kill it. The buffalo was just tearing into it with his horns. Until the lion was on the floor like this. I say, hey. So I'm sure the other lions will have a meeting. I say, it's a stupid boy. You went to meet buffalo alone. All of us were not there. You're a stupid boy. That's what happened. They say to children, that's what happens to stupid lions. Are you with me? Talk to God this morning. And the idea is to make a decision this morning. What are you going to change? That's the most important thing. What are you going to change? What are you going to take out of your inner circle of influence? What are you going to introduce into your inner circle of influence? You know, at a point in time, I introduced listening to messages. But we're stuck with what? CDs. I have to have CD. After a while, I realized that this internet thing contains plenty. Because CD means that I have to find which CD to buy and all of that. Then all of a sudden, I saw that some people had websites. And their website had free downloadable messages. Just like we do. So I started downloading free. I couldn't run out of what to listen to anymore. I couldn't. I have too much to listen to than I can cope with it. One day I saw some people online. They were offering ebooks for sale. I mean, so again, this was years ago. You know, years ago. They were offering ebooks for sale, PDF. So I called them. I don't even remember how much I paid. But I paid those ladies then. I said, you have ebooks, again, blah, blah, blah. I paid them. Please give me the ebooks. So they had to bring me the copy with all the ebooks. You know, and I bought it. I have Kenyon, I have the Frederick Tracy Price. I have more than enough to read. I still buy books online. I still discovered that there are still some that you can download free online. I'm not saying read everything you see. But I'm saying even the good ones, there's an abundance now. And the more of that abundance I see, the more I'm introducing it into my own inner circle because I want to be influenced by God by all means. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Left to myself, I'm a wreck. Left to myself, I'm no good. I need God. So I'm determined on introducing God to myself on a rolling basis. 24/7. Recently I thought to myself, you know, this Bible can talk now. I said, so when I go to bed, what's wrong with just putting it there and start playing it? Let it just be speaking to me. My spirit is alive. It's awake. Let it be speaking to me. But then I discovered that I will wake up. You know, you get to a state that I wake up. So I say, you won't be sleeping well, though. That's not good for your health. So I stopped that one. I still think about it to say, okay, what do I do? Is it that when I lie down, let me play it for 15 minutes. Let it speak to me. So I'm constantly looking for how to. Because it's going to determine what becomes of me. That influence. I need every hour, most gracious Lord. No temple of like thine can be suffered. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior.
lose their power when
everywhere you are, ask yourself, if you are not there, will the people miss you positively? If you are not there, you know, what will it mean to those people? Professional association, school alumni, neighborhood, what will it mean to those people? They may not know, they may not even understand that it's because you're a Christian or anything, but would they know that, that person was really good for us. That person was the one really helping us. I mean, there's just something about him. There's just something about her. If you are not convinced, then there's more work to be done. And I'm not saying, you know, doing nice service or whatever to, no. But who you are, how much of a blessing do you think you are? Somebody said, some people make people glad when they come. Others make people glad when they go. Which one are you? Father, we want to thank you this morning. Thank you for speaking to us once again. Your word is the only one that's living and powerful. It's the only one that can touch us the way you do. Thank you because indeed there's transformation this morning. Thank you because we will not be the same. Thank you because there is even grace released along with the word to take specific steps that will make us the kind of positive influences that you have in mind as the salt of the earth in the name of Jesus. Thank you because we will impact our environment for you. They will see our good works and glorify our Father. And Lord, this morning I pray that indeed you will touch every heart, every life. For being here this morning, let miracles happen in the lives of everyone. Whatever the desires are, let those desires be met in the name of Jesus. And let there be amazing testimonies this week because you daily load us with benefits. Let it be that we have encountered God today. And the impact of that is felt right through our week. In the name of Jesus, the glory and the praise be yours. In Jesus' name.